I want all of you to know this truth, a fact. The soul of this man, whose body lay here before us today, has seen the face of God. He has seen that face which was during the Passion, beaten with fists, spat upon, and pierced with the thorns of a mock crown. But that same face is now filled with splendor and beauty, with majesty, with glory, so that the angels themselves can do nothing more than to bow down, trembling before the majesty of God. And Nico has come face to face with this God. The creature has met his creator. The redeemed has met his redeemer. The sinner has met his judge. Judgment has been passed, and the soul of our loved one has entered into his reward or into his punishment. But my dear people, this is what life is all about, isn't it? When we stop and think, everything rests upon that one final moment when the soul leaves the body. At that moment, you either have the grace of final perseverance or you do not. That is what everything is about. This world is not our home. It is a ship which passes over the sea of life into the distant shores of eternity. St. Hebrew once said that to the Hebrews. We have not here a lasting city, but we seek one that is to come. And it is this same thought of eternity that has made great sinners into great saints, that has made lukewarm Catholics into the most fervent of God's saints. Father Avila, a very holy priest from many years ago, said, "He who believes in eternity and does not become a saint should be confined to a madhouse." And then later on, he once told a lady whom he had just converted, "Madam," he said, "Madam, reflect on these two words, always and never. You shall always see the face of God for all eternity and never experience the pains of hell, or else you shall always and forever and for all eternity suffer the flames of hell and never see the beautiful face of Almighty God. Always and never. Reflect on that." Not a one of us here, no matter what we believe, can escape the fact that there is an eternity, and on that other side of eternity, there is for each one of us here today either a reward or a punishment. Nico has run his course. Just a few Sundays ago, we read the Epistle of St. Paul when he speaks about the athletes in a race and how they prepare themselves, how they carry themselves out in the race. Nico has finished the race. He has gotten to the finish line. There is nothing more for him to do. He cannot add anything to his performance. But along the way, he had many graces at his disposal. He possessed, first of all, the true Roman Catholic faith at a time in the world when it is so very rare. And we know that faith is so precious. One of the things that faith does for us is it gives us, as it were, a sense of humor. What is a sense of humor? Well, when we think of a sense of humor, we think, well, someone has been just humiliated. He's able to see through it, to laugh at himself. Or if he's been made fun of, He can joke about it with others. He has a sense of humor because he's able to see right through the problem. And the faith gives us all a supernatural vision that helps us to see through all of the trials and the tribulations, the temptations, and the adversities of this life. For we who have the faith can see, for instance, that whatever cross we experience, sickness, death, or whatever other temptations come our way, we can see that the faith tells us this too will pass. That this trial that we are suffering today is for a greater good, ultimately for our sanctification and for our salvation. Nico also had the true sacraments, which were instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ himself and preserved intact by Holy Mother Church. He received baptism, of course, which made him the child of God, a temple of the Holy Ghost, and an heir to the kingdom of God. He had received many, many times, hundreds of times, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. He became, as it were, a little golden ciborium for the sacred host. If he had the misfortune to fall into sin, he was able to come here to the confessional and to be absolved of his sins. At confirmation, the Holy Ghost descended upon him and made him a soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in the sacrament of matrimony, too, what graces are offered there for the sanctification of spouses. And then, of course, he received extreme unction, which is the last of the sacraments that he received just before his death. And extreme unction does what now? We know this by catechism. It helps us to die well. It prepares us for death. It gives us strength, a supernatural, spiritual strength that will overcome all of our weaknesses of soul and of body and will help us to overcome the diabolical temptations that are waged against the dying man. And he received it. He had, furthermore, the true Mass. And there is a saying from one of the saints, I believe it was St. Gertrude that said this, that for every Mass that we hear on earth, God will send one saint to be with you on your deathbed. If we think of how many Masses Nico heard in his life, how many saints were there praying for him at his deathbed. He was a man of prayer as well. I hear that he was a third order Dominican and loved the rosary, which is after the Mass and the divine office, the greatest of the prayers that ever have been invented. And he had a devotion for the poor souls, I think, too. You notice on the beautiful holy card of Our Lady that was handed out last night at the wake, on the back was one of the psalms, De Profundis, out of the depths, I have called upon thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. And that psalm is used frequently while praying for the poor souls in purgatory. He had a great devotion to that. Whenever you see that holy card, say that prayer in Nico's honor. Say it for the repose of his soul. And at the end, as I mentioned, he had a priest to give his last rites. He had a loving wife, a very dutiful wife, who was there at the final moments. It had to be the most beautiful of scenes. The priest couldn't be there for the last moments, but the wife was, and was praying with him. As his soul was just about to depart the body, she was saying the prayer found in the Roman ritual that under the prayers for the dying, she was saying the prayer, "May the angels conduct thee into paradise." What a beautiful thought. All of this perfectly arranged by Almighty God in His providence. And so you see how much God loves a single soul to do all of this for one soul. You all have reason to have great hope that he had a good death. But remember this. The modern world will never tell you this, but I will. It is not our job to canonize our friends and our family as soon as they die, as if they had died and gone straight to heaven. You and I know that you and I and all of our family members, we have defects, we have faults, we have sin. Then how is it that if nothing defiled can enter into heaven, that a soul who dies with sin on his soul could go directly to heaven? By canonizing our family members and our friends, we do not do them any favor, but rather a great act of a lack of charity, because when we canonize them, we no longer pray for them. When we no longer pray for them, they are abandoned in the fires of purgatory. And we know by our faith, our holy Catholic faith, which is firmly established on the Word of God, that there is a purgatory. We know that nothing defiled can enter into heaven, and that we are called to perfection. Our Lord said, "Be you perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect." We are all called to reach perfection in this life. If we don't reach it here, then that is when we go to purgatory, to be perfected there, so that we can then enter undefiled, perfectly clean, into the gates of heaven, where then, and only then, we are found worthy to look at God in the face. Nico was a man of very many virtues, many good qualities. Some of you spoke to me yesterday about how he impressed you at this church and set a good example for you, and that's a good sign. But we should always remember his faults, not in a bad way, but just simply to remind us that we must pray for this man's soul. I want to conclude by addressing Nico's wife, Rebecca, and the children in particular. Tears. They're really a good thing. They're a gift of Almighty God. But don't let those tears blur your spiritual vision. That often happens in times of sadness, that our sadness just blinds us to the truths of our faith, but not here. Remember the truths of your faith. The first, that this event, tragic as it was planned from all eternity. But you see God's providence. A priest was here to take care of him. You were there to see him at his very last moments. God arranged it because he loved that soul and he loves each of you. Secondly, your separation from your husband, from your father, is not eternal. It is not eternal. You will meet again, but here on out, you must resolve with all of your soul to live so as to be worthy of heaven, where we hope that Nico has gone. And thirdly, you must pray for him frequently and every day. It is a special duty of the family to pray for the deceased relatives. And it's a perfect way to help your husband, your father. Remember that every prayer don't despise a prayer just because it's small. Don't despise a penance just because it's weak. Every little thing that you do brings Nico one step closer to the gates of heaven. My final words are to my parishioners, Francisco, Giovanni, who's acting as a cross-bearer in here today. You are now the men of the house. You know that. And the modern world will say that a man no longer owes respect or love or obedience to parents. It's no longer looked on as cool or any of those things. But this respect and this love, this obedience, is truly a manly virtue. No man is so good that he should not respect and love his mother. Hold to that always. Your father would have wanted that. But then secondly and lastly for you two, you're going to have a hard time of it, but you're soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ by confirmation. You remain firm in your faith because the world will try to take it away from you. You must use the tools. Study it. Learn it. Put it into practice. The more you do that, the less chance the world has of ripping it out of your soul. And for the rest of you, if you only remember two things from today's sermon, remember that Nico has seen the face of God, and that perhaps in days or months or years, you too will see the face of God. The moment of your death when he comes to judge the dead man. And secondly, pray for Nico. If you pray for him, remember what they say in the catechism. The souls that you release from purgatory will, when they get to heaven, be your benefactors. They will be praying for you to make it to heaven. Always remember. And let us all today then offer up our tears, our prayers, and our sacrifices for the repose of the soul of our loved one here in the middle of the nave of this small church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.